Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Good to see you. Christmas joy continues because the peace that has come with Christmas remains. And even as we turn into a new calendar year, that peace doesn't disappear. It just continues to grow and strengthen. And that's why we're here today, to continue to grow and be strengthened in God's peace and the joy that he offers to us. Are you a person who seeks to make a statement by the clothing you wear? Clothing is sold as a way to make a fashion statement. And yet not everyone pays that close of attention to what they wear or what others are wearing. However, there is another set of clothing that can make a statement. And it is a set of clothing that is to be noticeable on us. Now, what exactly is that set of clothing, and why is that to be the case, and what does that clothing look like? That's what we're going to focus on this first Sunday after Christmas. God's blessings in our worship of him. Just a note for the Lord's Supper today, that you would please remain standing as we distribute the bread and the wine. I invite your attention to page 3 of the service bulletin. My soul finds rest in God alone.
My salvation comes from him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation.
He is my fortress. I will never be shaken.
We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. My salvation and my honor depend on God.
He is my mighty rock, my refuge.
Trust in Him at all times, O people.
Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Peace of forgiveness. Let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, in mercy, you sent your one and only Son to take upon Himself our human nature. By His gracious coming, deliver us from the corruption of our sin and transform us into the likeness of His glory. On this first Sunday after Christmas, as the peace and hope and joy of Christmas continues, a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Kings chapter 8, where we see how the Lord's presence filled the temple that was designated to be a place of worship to him. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And they are still there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If Jesus is in your heart, and we trust that he is by the grace of God, how is that evident? How is that to be evident? A reminder of this, a reading from Holy Scripture, Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter, where Jesus is recognized as being the Savior, even at a young age, this in keeping with God's word. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we turn now to our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
Grace and mercy and peace are yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and also through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear these words once again from the book of Colossians. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who thankfully came into this world to fulfill God's promises with us in mind. Skinny ties, skinny jeans, canvas high tops, wide lapels, knees showing or not, ankle socks, no socks with dress shoes. Clothing fashions come and go, don't they? But this too is nothing new under the sun. It has always been the case, and that's why those who lived in the 1970s and have hung on to their clothing are back in style once again, at least in some circles. The way people dress can lead other people to some conclusions about those other people's personality. Those conclusions, while they may or may not be accurate about that person's personality, but that doesn't stop us from making assumptions about people's personalities based on how they are dressed. Something else about a person, not just their physical clothing, can give a statement about one's personality, what that personality is rooted in. And that's what the Lord, our Savior, calls our attention to through the words of Colossians chapter 3. Regardless of the opinion of the day, whatever the fashion statement might be for physical clothes in particular, one opinion is to matter most to us. And his opinion, which is really not an opinion, is simply this reminder that your clothing is always in style. But not just any clothing. It's the clothing that has been given and put on us by Christ. This is related to why Christ came in the first place, so that we could be properly dressed to meet our God. And so Jesus came down to this earth, and he didn't come to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill the law. We have an example of that, even at a young age, as Joseph and Mary recognized the fulfillment of the law in the purification rites. Jesus was about living the law perfectly, even at a young age. There is something that Jesus definitely did not do that he cannot be accused of, that sometimes we may be accused of, and that is he never brought disgrace on his family. Can the same be said of us? Thankfully, Jesus did not bring disgrace on his family. He always knew what his purpose was here on earth, even at a young age. And he carried that out into his teens and into adulthood. Jesus knew that while he had come here to live a perfect life, part of that perfect life consisted of not intentionally standing out in a way that would cause friction. And yet he wasn't here just to fit in. I mean, he didn't, again, with his birth, he didn't have his manger in the Hyatt. His birth wasn't announced by royal soldiers. Rather, in a humble stall was his manger, and and announced by shepherds, kind of on the bottom of the totem pole. But Jesus still made a statement. I was kind of wondering, too, if would Jesus be the one who would walk into a room full of Giant fans in a Dodger uniform? You could make a case for either one. But again, Jesus was not there to intentionally cause friction, and yet he wasn't just there to fit in. He lived a perfect life because that perfect life would lead to what else he came here to do, and that is die an innocent death. Because that innocent death would result in peace between God and humankind. We needed to be reconciled, and the only way to be reconciled was through Jesus, the Savior who was born, who took on human flesh, who lived that perfect life and died that innocent death, and with that death took all our disgraceful moments upon himself and said, "Your slate has been wiped clean." God's not looking at you as a disgrace, but rather through Christ looks at you as part of his family. Knowing what Jesus has done for us through his perfect life and his innocent death, what has been accomplished for us, as we reflect on 2023, as it draws to a close, hard to imagine, the year gone by so quickly, are there any regrets? Any disgraceful moments? Anything that you wish you could do over, but you can't? Most likely there is. And now as we go into a new calendar year, what's going to change? What needs to change? Well, as we think about that, again, what is the motivation for wanting to change so that we don't have to live in regret? Well, it's the cross. Because Christmas, again, really has always been about the cross. It's closely connected. Without Christmas, there would not be the cross. So there had to be Christmas so that we could have the cross. And with Christmas and the cross, then, comes what we need, reconciliation. This reconciliation that has been given to us by God's grace. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, points out that the clothing we need, the reconciliation we need between God and us, it's not something that we bring about. It's not our decision. We don't put this clothing on ourselves. We don't even ask for it. We haven't earned it. It's all by God's grace, his undeserved love, that we have been given what we need to stand righteous before God now and into eternity. Because by nature, we are spiritually dead. We'll do things that will benefit ourselves, but not to the glory of God. The fruits then that are mentioned here by the Apostle Paul, they can only come about by that clothing that is put on us, the clothing of Christ, that he has earned for us, gained for us by his perfect life and innocent death. Talk about a gift. Talk about grace. Not by observing the law, but through faith in Jesus. Faith is that receiving hand of what God has done for us through Jesus, our Savior. And how does that faith come to us? Through the message. The message rooted in Christ. Christ crucified and risen. That's the heart and soul of our mission here as a congregation. And that is to be the heart and soul of our mission as individuals. It's all about Christ crucified and risen. The clothing that he has put on us. That clothing that has reconciled us to God. Because of that clothing that has been put on us, we belong, Paul reminds us. We belong to the family of God. Who doesn't want a sense of belonging? Through Christ and the clothing that he has put on us, we know where we belong. Now, how do we give evidence of where we belong? Of whose clothing has been put on us? Paul speaks to that with those fruits of the Spirit. Because that belonging to God, that clothing that has been put on us, it comes with responsibility. And it's summed up with these fruits. First of all, compassion. Walking in someone's shoes before making judgment. Not everybody who's out on the streets wants to be out on the streets. Some have had their rent jacked up to the point they can't meet the expense of that rent on their fixed income. And so now they're forced on the street. But at first we might judge them and say, go get a job, be a bum. When the circumstances are out of their control. It may be an illness, a medical bill that's killing them. If the diagnosis wasn't bad enough. And so they had to sell their house to pay the bill. Maybe they don't make enough to have a nicer pair of shoes. So again, before we start condemning people without knowing the circumstances, the Lord reminds us to show compassion. And with that compassion then is connected kindness. Seeking to meet the needs of others. And so we do the food drives and we do encourage people to do their clothing drives and to volunteer where necessary, either in the church or through the church or in the community, to help people in their need as you are able to do so. Because it may come a time when you need that compassion and that kindness. And couldn't the world use more kindness? And where does that kindness start that the world needs? With Christ and the clothing that he puts on. And the more people are connected to Christ, the more we will see that compassion and that kindness. But what are we seeing in our world? We're seeing a disconnect with Christ. People aren't putting his clothing on. Even some Christians have taken it off. And so instead of seeing more kindness and compassion, we see less. Or we see it when people are looking. But God's always looking. Then he talks about humility. A reliance on God. Pride goes before the fall. We see that time and time again, how arrogance rots people's minds and hearts. And it can lead their life to ruin. Jesus gives us a great example of humility. He who is God and always has been and will be did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbly took on human flesh for us. An example to not get caught up in who we are, in our name and lights, but just simply live as children of God. Then he talks about gentleness. Gentleness is one who is not easily enraged, one who overall can keep their cool in difficult situations. Maybe someone calls your mama a name, but in gentleness you don't call their mama a name back. Gentleness by the world is looked at something not favorable. But again, if we could practice such fruits on a consistent basis, and where does that start? It starts with us in Christ, and it carries out then through the church family, and the church family can get that reputation out and about into society, and one by one, Lord willing, the clothing of Christ is put on people, and they display such fruits, including patience, holding out for better. Waiting patiently on the Lord to provide his answers in his good time for us. What's oftentimes a prayer, Lord, give me patience. Because we tend to not be patient people. And so, Lord, give us patience now. He reminds us of another fruit, all connected together, and bear with one another and forgive one another. That fifth petition is powerful. Forgive as we forgive. If we're not willing to forgive, Even if someone is not sorry, but to have that attitude, that desire to forgive. What are we asking the Lord to do for us? Not forgive us. And so may those words not just be words that roll through our lips so easily, but that we ponder what is all included with that. Forgive, Lord, as we forgive. And that forgiveness then enables us to bear with one another, to be kind and compassionate and gentle and patient, even when people are not such to us. We can't do that on our own, but with the clothing of Christ, we can, because our power comes not from ourselves, but for Him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't hold people accountable. That doesn't mean everything's going to work out well. There still might be consequences of friendship lost. But the peace inside yourself and the peace between you and God will remain. And what binds all these fruits together? Love. God's amazing love for us, that agape love, that unconditional love. And that love then is to be evident through us, that same kind of unconditional agape love. That's what drives those other fruits. That love that's in us is to be evident through us. And how does that happen? That clothing remains on us and is evident through us by staying connected then to the Word of God. How does the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, say that? Let the Word of God dwell in you a little bit. No, richly, overflowing. And how can that Word dwell in you? Well, through the Word itself. Through the Word in song. If the song has a slow beat or a fast beat, as long as the Word of God is there, let it dwell in you richly. Because if it doesn't, what happens? We're not wearing the clothing as God wants us to wear it. Remembering the why. Why do I want to wear this clothing that Christ has put on me? Why do I want to show the fruits that are mentioned here? Because Jesus died and rose again for me. Christmas and the cross are connected together. That's the why. Together with, this is what God wants of me. And what does that lead us to? It leads us to an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for your the identity you have given to me, for the clothing that you have put on me. Thank you for the opportunity to show that I am yours, that you are connected to me by putting these fruits into display. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your promises, because the promises that you have kept, we can trust that you will keep all of your promises. And so, Lord, help me continue to wear the clothes that you have put on me. Clothing that is dyed, D-Y-E-D, with love. The clothing provided to us in Christ is always in style. And our world is in need of such style. This is why you were chosen. Wear it well. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith printed out for us on page 9.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We pray. Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought glory to your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son. O Jesus, Lamb of God, we praise you for offering yourself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all. On the cross, you declared the sacrifice for sins completed. At the open tomb, you assured the world that sinners are reconciled to God.
Be with us as we are the cross, so that we may be bold and confident witnesses to our family members and friends.
Holy Spirit, blessed counselor, use your word of truth and power to break down the barriers to our witness, including fallen mankind's natural hatred for God and Satan's wicked work among us.
Empower us by your gospel and encourage us to be faithful, firm witnesses to the people among whom we live and work.
O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bear our offerings home, Lord, make them yours forevermore. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, thank you for this opportunity in their life, and continue to watch over them, helping them see the blessings in their life together. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, send us by the power of your word into the mission fields beyond the walls of our church. Give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that seize the opportunities you set before us to be your witnesses.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
As we continue now with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen.
pray.
Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. To God be the glory forever and ever.
Blessed New Year to you as we transition on the calendar into a new year, and thankfully God's mercies remain new each and every day this year and into the next year. Bible study today, we're doing a one-topic look. We're talking about Christianity in our society today, what it looks like individually and collectively, and then next week we'll begin a study of the books of Philippians and Colossians. The Joy of Life Bible study is not meeting this coming week as listed in the bulletin, but will resume on the 11th. Just take note of that. School resumes this coming Wednesday after their Christmas break. And then on Saturday, St. Mark's Youth Basketball League begins. So the month of January, we'll have over 100 children running around in the gym. No chaos there. It'll be a good time. No, it's pretty well organized. Thanks to our organizers. Thank offering envelopes are in the lobby today. If you want to pick them up, if you haven't done so already, appreciate that. For those who are on auto giving, you're not receiving envelopes, but you do have a number. If you don't remember what your number is, just email Linda Hatfield and she'll send that to you. And if you know of somebody who's not able to make it to church for one reason or another, but you see their envelopes there, if you want to drop them off, appreciate that. Everyone, though, is encouraged to take a brown 5x7 envelope packet because there's some information in there for you to consider and pray about. So if everybody could take one of those, I appreciate that. Next Sunday, we have our LWMS Mission Box, first Sunday of the month coming up. So just a preview of that important work, which is definitely needed all the more in our society. But also in addition, you'll see there by the information board some baby bottles. For the months of January and February, you can read more about this in the weekly news. If you want, there are 20 bottles there. Just put some loose change in there as you can, and we'll send it on to New Beginnings. It's a home for that takes care of unwed mothers, mothers who are not connected to any family. They're expecting, and so they need care. Many of these women come to the home not knowing Jesus, but they leave connected.
Other than that, see the weekly news. Have a great day in the Lord.